Tad vijanihi yajnanam. जानीहि यज्ञानम् आत्मतत्त्वनिदर्शनम्
नारद उवाच देवदेव नमस्तेऽस्तु सभावनपूर्वज विजानीहि यज्ञानम्
Sri Narada asks Brahmaji, O chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and its person. Please repeat. Sri Narada Muni asks Brahmaji, O chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. Please hear from the past of one. The perfection of the Parambara system or the path of discrete succession is further confirmed. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Brahmaji, the firstborn living entity, received knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord, and the same knowledge was imparted to Narada, the next disciple. Narada asked to receive the knowledge, and Brahmaji imparted it without being upon being asked. Therefore, asking for transcendental knowledge from the right person and receiving it properly is a regulation of the disciplined succession. This process is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 4.2. The inquisitive student must approach a qualified spiritual master to receive transcendental knowledge by surrender, submissive inquiries, and service. By surrender, submissive inquiries, and service. Not knowledge received by submissive inquiries and service is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. A spiritual master in the line of disciplined succession from Brahma and Narada has no demand for dollars and cents. A bona fide student has to satisfy him by sincere service to obtain knowledge of the relation and nature of the individual soul and the spiritual. So before we try and say something on this very wonderful verse, we seek the blessings of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, all the Vaishnavas assembled here, Vishwa Gopal Prabhu. He's the one to give the class, and we really need his blessings. Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mahi, who are the deities today of these great Gopinath Acharya Prabhu and Radha Maharshi, and whom I am told have been the deities for the last for 3 years, probably, for Rath Yatra in Tokyo, Japan. See how nice they're giving us darshan. Let us keep their blessings so that we will not see anything wrong or offensive in the course of this discussion. Om Agnyam Vinyanyasya 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 Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Gopisham Sayam Yeha Kurave Swayam Rupa Ramayam Dhanishwa Padaniyam Vandeham Shri Guru Vindara Padam Shri Guru Vaishnava
Thank you.
1.4 of Srimad Bhagavatam is still the seminal verse for this verse. Because the discussion that Prabhupada is focusing on is still on the importance of Tantra. But now, he is giving us more importance specifically to the role of the spiritual master and our approach to the spiritual master. And this is on the premise of Tantra. So we understand the first principle of Parampara is that the glorification of Krishna, which is the objective, the life and the soul of a devotee, can only be done in Parampara. And it is actually conveyed by spiritual master to disciple. That is the proper way to receive mercy and the proper way to glorify Krishna. Such glorification, Bhagavatam says, is relishable. It is relishable by those who are no longer interested in false, temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. To those people, these descriptions of the Lord are like the right medicine to counter and to end this continuing birth and death cycle. This is the only medicine, Prabhu and Mahajis, that will take us out of this cycle. And at the end of that, Shivadev Goswami says that because this is so glorious, therefore who will cease to hear such glorification? Only two classes of people will not hear this. One, those who are known as bushes, and two, those who kill their own selves, who commit a spiritual suicide, so to speak. They only will not be interested in Srimad Bhagavatam. They will not be interested in taking shelter of this temple. In this verse now, Narada Muni is asking his father, Brahmaji, and he is asking very nicely. The way he asks is very nicely stated here. It is that, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. This is what we call dandavats. This is what we call pranams. Sometimes it can become very easy for us as devotees to take these words for granted. We can say, Maharaj, please accept my obeisances, please accept my dandavats, Prabhuji, please accept my obeisances. Very fast we can shake them. And sometimes even when we write also to each other, you know, we put, you know, PAMHO, HBTESPFG, and all that. If we mean what we write, it's alright. Sometimes we have a rush, there's no choice, you know. But always the onus is on us to always try and remember the meaning of our life to offer my respect to Jesus. And here, the meaning of that is that we must become beggars. Literally, beggars cannot be choosers to lose and not to lose. That means it is not up to us. Nothing is in our hands. That is the import of the meaning of begging. When we say we are begging, that means we are not saying, look, I am demanding. Right? A beggar cannot demand. A beggar must just offer what he has at the lotus feet of the person who is going to be his benefactor. This is the meaning of begging. So when we beg, this becomes the mood of a disciple in Parampara. This is the starting point for us to understand. And this mood of the disciple is given to Guru. It is given to Guru, no one else. We don't beg any other particular person. We are begging for mercy of Guru. We are begging for the goodwill of all living entities. Our mood should always be that we are always at the lowest rung of the Parampara. The formula then, Narada Muni is giving us here in the way he asks, is actually that we should ask to receive knowledge. You find that's another important point in this purport, that he is asking Brahmaji for the transcendental knowledge. That is why sincere inquiry into transcendental knowledge is the first step in the movement towards Krishna. Until and unless we develop this inquiry mood, then it is very difficult for us to progress. Sometimes in classes, after speaking classes, few things may happen. Sometimes we hear so many questions. Sometimes we hear comments. Comments are also a form of questions because they are putting forward our realizations. So that's fine. But when it is very quiet, then, you know, I remember Rajesh Guru often always used to say himself in class, if there is no question, two things are happening. One, right, that you don't understand anything, which is fine, but if you don't ask, that's not fine. Or two, you understand everything, which is also highly unlikely. So, in between, there should always be the importance of inquiring from the spiritual master very consciously. The seminal verse for this verse, actually, is this very important verse in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Where Krishna speaks about 4:34, how to approach the spiritual master. And Krishna says very nicely, Tadvidhi Pranipatena. And then he says, Pari Prashnena Sevaya. Prashina Sunya. The result of that is Upadeshanti Vijnanam, and the reason for it is Jnanavastatva Darshanam. So if you break up the verse, it becomes very nice. Krishna's advice is simple. He tells Arjuna, just try and approach the spiritual master. Notice the word try. Attempt is known in Bhagavatam as Vrnatascha Swachishtitam. It is endeavor. Until and unless we make an endeavor in our hearts to want to improve the quality of our devotional life, then that mood will really only affect the spiritual master. Very sincere. If we are just wanting spiritual master because just like we have a pet dog, we have a pet guru, and it is fashionable to have a guru, I'm initiated, yes. You know, who I'm initiated by, I'm not sure. But I'm initiated. That kind of thinking, right, it becomes fashionable. But there's no point. So just try. Try means that we have to make the attempt. And how we should try? We try to approach a spiritual master. And he says that you approach a spiritual master to learn the truth. This is the point that we want to know. What is truth? Truth in Bhagavatam is reality which is distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. This is the point of the meaning of truth. Truth is not relative truth. Truth is absolute truth. And in the first canto, the first chapter, the second verse, Dharma Prajita Kaitavatsa Ho, Nirmatsara Nam. This is very important. That Vedyam Vasu, right? This important thing, this line is very important because in this line, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to us the reason for rejection of all other fruitive intentions to come to the pages of Bhagavatam is ultimately to learn about the Supreme Absolute Truth. And this Supreme Absolute Truth is auspicious. This is Shivadam. And why is it auspicious? Because only when we learn this truth, then only we will be able to understand how to distinguish between what is really real and what is false. Reality distinguished from illusion. Now supposing there is difficulty in this material world, that is illusion. The way to come out of the illusion is to understand what is reality. Can we do it on our own? This world tells us it is impossible. We can only do it in the mood of Narada and in the verse of 434 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. And how to do it? Here, Narada Muni and Rupa give this very nice point. They say that the best way to do it is actually to inquire from the spiritual master submissively. This is the starting point. Submissive inquiry. And how to inquire submissively? Rupa writes in the purport 3 S. That we should know. Not three S's as in donkeys, but three S as in alphabet S. Right? If we don't follow the three S, then definitely we also become S's. And the three S is very nicely stated in Bhagavatam as 1. Surrender. 2. Submissive inquiries. And 3. Service. This is the starting point of Bhagavatam. To really approach the spiritual master, always these three must be there. If these three are there, then the final S is also there. Three S's equal to one final S. And that is satisfaction of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master becomes satisfied with the disciple, that is the perfection of our existence. We sing this in Guru Puja. That is the satisfaction of our existence. How? That somehow or another, we somehow find a way to surrender to him through submissive inquiry and through service. This is very, very important. Now, if we want to understand that, the common denominator for all three S's is in one quality in devotional service. And that quality is humility. There is an H somewhere here also. So there are three S's and denominator is H. Why? Because until and unless we are really genuinely humble, it is very hard for us to become submissive in spiritual life. Very difficult. And sometimes the longer we spend in spiritual life, the harder it is for us to surrender. Because somehow, like the material world, we start to think that we are experienced devotees. Experience means I know more than you. That means I am higher up on the parampara than you are. Right? So this parampara can also become a ladder of convenience. Where I am, Prabhu, how long you've been Krishna Master? 4 years. I'm 4.5. So I'm serious. Right? Okay. Or both of us, 4 years. Okay, fine, it's a tie. Which one were you initiated? Or on the same day we initiated, okay, who went first? Who was on the list? like that, you know, like that you say. So, I remember my Guru Maharaj, you know, when he initiated me in London, I was ready to be called before him. Then he called Radhika. And he said, Radhika, I'm giving you initiation first. So at that time he called me by Shiva. He should never ever turn around on you and say, you know, I'm initiated before you, better listen to me. Right? So Maharaj knew my rascal tendencies. And he said that now I'm going to initiate you first. So he told her then after that every time he fights with you, you remind him who's senior. Even if it's by a minute, it doesn't matter. So sometimes we have these ideas in our heads, you know. And that is why Bhagavatam tells us that the submissive inquiry is important. And in this purport, submissive inquiry, the mood of submissive inquiry is given by Nanda. Nandaji initiated so many disciples in Bhagavatam. If you read through whole Bhagavatam, every chapter he is guru for one great devotee, isn't it? There is no part of Bhagavatam where Nanda's hand is not there. His hand is everywhere. His Veena is everywhere. His prayers are everywhere. All the exalted devotees of the Lord, Guru Maharaj, Pranab Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you name them, they all have been touched by Nanda Muni. And here Nanda Muni says, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me their transcendental knowledge. He is asking so lovingly from his father. And that is what spiritual master is. He is really our father. More than anything else, Prabhu Jamata is, the spiritual master relationship is one of a loving father to a submissive disciple. And how can we ever dream not to hear a loving father? You know? Loving father, we have so much love for him, but that love is not sentimental. That love has so much awe and reverence the way Narada was approaching Brahmaji. He didn't go and ask Brahmaji and say, you are my papa, you please tell me now, you know, something about spiritual knowledge. Nothing like that. He spoke very nicely, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances to you. So in spiritual life, being formal doesn't mean that devotees are not loving. It means that we never take each other for granted. That is very important. In material world, you slap my back, I slap your back, looks very nice. 2 years later, you slap my face, and I slap your face. And there is nothing to that relationship. So this is very important. And submissive inquiry, our sastras tell us, and Prabhupada writes in the purport of 434, is that we should never be challenging when we inquire about transcendental knowledge. It should not be that I want to play a game of chess with my spiritual master. I'll ask a question, he'll give an answer. I'll anticipate the second question, he'll give a second answer. And then there I'm tracking him now. See now, how to answer this? Sometimes this challenging mood may appear very important in the material world, Prabhu and Mataji's, but in the spiritual world it has no value. No value. In fact, it is completely in the reverse. The more submissively we ask a question, not to challenge, in that mood, Krishna really through the principle of parampara, through the pleasing of that spiritual master who sees, this is a humble, humility, common denominator. This is humble disciple, ready to hear. Now I am going to give you full knowledge. Full knowledge. You remember Madhureva Suri? He was great, very great acharya in our line. And he had two disciples with him. Towards the end of his life, he was being served by Ramchandra Puri and he was served by Ishwar Puri. And in Bhagavatam Madhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Antya Leela, somewhere there, I remember. Very nicely this point was raised, that Madhureva Puri was nearing the end of his life, and both his disciples were serving him. One day in great ecstasy, Madhureva Puri chanted a very famous line. He was calling out to the Lord in separation. Oh Lord, you know, I still feel so vacant in my heart that I am still not with you, you know. So how and when will I be able to see you? And this is a guru of a spiritual master. And it is such a transcendental mellow that we may not be able to understand it at all. Ramchandra Puri immediately told his spiritual master, that what is this? Why are you calling for the Lord like that? Do you not realize that he's in your heart? How can you say that you are separated from him? Can you imagine? Disciple telling, preaching the spiritual master in that way. And the moment he said that, Madhureva Puri, you know, already on that way, this was really disturbing too much for him. He got very angry with Ramchandra Puri and he told him, be gone now, be gone. But Ishwar Puri was the opposite. Whenever Madhureva Puri spoke or discussed any pastimes from Bhagavatam, Ishwar Puri lovingly, submissively heard all than his spiritual master's head. And his service to spiritual master was so wonderful that Chaitanya Charitamrita was telling us that he would lovingly clean his spiritual master's urine, stool, just in that mood of menial service. Because everything about the spiritual master was sacred to him. And because he was in a submissive mood, Madhavendra Puri embraced him very tightly before the end of his life and told him that I am so pleased with you that your glories will be heard throughout all three worlds. And it was not that Ishwar Puri was asking for glories. He was asking submissively. That was all he was doing. The end result, Prabhupada writes in purport, was a submissive disciple, a very innocent disciple of the Lord, of the Guru. The result of that was Ishwar Puri became the spiritual master to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The benediction was so great that he became spiritual master to none other than the Lord himself. All because of his wonderful service to this Guru. And Ramchandra Puri, instead of becoming a nice devotee, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes him as being in illusion, and he became a famous critic. He became a criticizer of all devotees, and gradually he left the fold of devotional service. So submissive inquiry towards the spiritual master is very important. Non-challenging mood is very important. Prabhupada writes in the purport that not by the independent study of books can we actually get knowledge. Neither can we get knowledge of the soul and super soul by dry, speculative, philosophical speculation. It is not possible. Instead, when a spiritual master sees a genuine desire of the disciple to serve him and to glorify Krishna, then Prabhupada says the Guru automatically blesses the disciple. How nice the word is. Automatically, without thinking, automatic mode, the blessings of spiritual master are there. This is genuine blessing. Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are very good examples. Parikshit Maharaj was a great king, Prabhu and Matajis, but see how he came into Parampara. Submissively he said, submissively he heard. Never once did he tell Sukadeva Goswami, look, my time is running out, tell me all that you have to tell me about super soul and so on, and then you know you can leave now. Never. He was king. He could have spoken like this. But he submissively inquired all these wonderful questions that today have formed the basis of our spiritual existence. At the same time, Prabhupada writes in the purport of 434 that absurd inquiries are not welcome. Right? We should ask inquiries not to show our wit, not to show humor, not because this is a very nice example of a semantic question. It can turn on a word, it can turn on word generally. No. That is considered absurd inquiries. That gets us nowhere. Prabhupada writes, absurd inquiries are condemned. That is from word to use. Prabhupada also says, blind understanding is also condemned. At the same time, we don't just accept, because we have to conform with Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. So, very genuinely, we are asking the spiritual master for transcendental knowledge. If there is some doubt, it is not wrong. When the doubt comes, Paramatma is asking us to ask Guru. So we ask, you know, Guru Maharaj, I have this doubt in my heart. You please help me with this, you know. I have faith that you will dispel this doubt. That faith is what Guru is looking out for. Then when you ask the question, it forms the basis of submissive inquiry. So that is the first S we should remember. The second S that Bhagavatam gives us is the platform for the submissive inquiry, the platform on which we can ask, is actually Sevaya. You know in 434, Pariprashnena is submissive inquiry. But immediately after Pariprashnena, you will find the word Sevaya is there. This submissive inquiry is on the platform of Seva. Because the more we serve our spiritual master, and that definitely means menial service, the more knowledge is given. Yesterday, Prabhuji's point of Dasharathi, the disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya, is a perfect point that we can remember. Prabhuji mentioned to us, he elaborated how wonderfully humble this exalted disciple of Ramanujacharya was, that he never struck his mind even once that he should say, I am such a great knowledgeable person, but still, why am I made to do the menial service? But what he did was, on the orders of the spiritual master, he submissively submitted and took up nice service. So this point is very important. You remember also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj was visited one time by a very grave scholar who wanted to ask very serious questions, genuine serious questions to him. But what happened was, before he can ask any questions, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, before you ask the questions, there'll be time, you do one thing. My disciples, they are all in the kitchen. You go and help them to do some meal service. We need some chopping, cutting, washing, everything. After doing that, you come and we will discuss. So he spent some hours there. And after finishing, he came. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, now I'm still a little busy. You go back there and you do some more seva. So he went in and did all the seva. At the end of the day when he came back, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, now sit down. And are there any questions you have? And he said, Maharaj, all questions that I had in my heart have all been answered when I was doing service and when I was in the association of your disciples. So this is a very nice point. That sometimes we may ask for the sake of asking. But until asking gets translated into devotional service, which is sevaya to Guru, and then sevaya to Krishna, then we'll find that all knowledge that is needed to be revealed, Krishna and Guru reveal it in our hearts. You'll just be inspired one day that you are convinced that suddenly some nice knowledge is coming, some realization is coming. How is it coming? It is flowing from mercy of Guru. And it is coming because you have become submissive. It is a good encouraging sign for a devotee when this happens between him and Guru. But this can only happen on the basis of menial service. And menial service, the one thing I remember very much that comes to my mind is actually the example of Maharaj Prataparudra. Prataparudra was a great king of Orissa, you remember, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he desired very much as a devotee to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when he first wrote a letter to all the devotees and associates of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu at that time was not inclined to meet the king. Because Mahaprabhu said, if I meet the king, what example as a sannyasi am I setting? Not good. But then Prataparudra Maharaj was a very sincere disciple. And he was just approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord and as Supreme Spiritual Master. So then again he petitioned to the devotees, you know. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he brought that letter in front of Nityananda Prabhu and the associates and told him, this is what Prataparudra is feeling. He has vowed that if he does not get to the darshan of the Lord, then he will take his life. So the devotees were so impressed with his dedication, his mood to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So finally, then Nityananda Prabhu went to see. None other than Nityananda Prabhu went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and on behalf, see Parampara. Parampara is always like that. We cannot approach Krishna directly, but by the blessings of one devotee, somehow they intercede for us, you know, and they bring up to the next person in Parampara that, oh, you please save him, you know, please help him, you know. So like that, Nityananda Prabhu actually brought the matter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, rejected, application rejected. Cannot. He's a king. I'm not giving anything. So Nityananda Prabhu said, if you can't give yourself to him, at least give him something from yourself. So he said, alright, I'll give you a piece of my cloth. So Nityananda Prabhu gave it to Prataparudra. Prataparudra Maharaj was so happy, he is soon in ecstasy, just touching Mahaprabhu's cloth, but no darshan. Then after that, if memory serves me right, he went on. He continued with his efforts. And one day, Ramananda Rai came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Mahaprabhu, I've resigned. Actually, not resigned really, but Prataparudra's mercy, he gave me early discharge from service. And he rewarded me so well and he was so happy that you're going to do service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Ramananda Rai was thinking, now I have to somehow convince Mahaprabhu to give him mercy, you know. So Ramananda Rai, you know, is very eloquent as a diplomat. So he used all his diplomatic skills, you know, to impress on Mahaprabhu what a great personality this king was. Mahaprabhu heard everything at the end. He said, if you want to associate with me, don't ever speak his name again. So Ramananda Rai got this. But Mahaprabhu, he's so kind, you know, what is wrong with him? Mahaprabhu said, his only disqualification is just one thing. Ramananda Rai said, you tell me now, you find some way. He is known as king. King Prataparudra. That word is very bad. Because as a king, I cannot see him. Ramananda Rai said, look at his other qualities. Mahaprabhu said, his qualities may be there, but if there is a pot of milk, and you have one drop of liquor in the pot of milk, what happens to the pot of milk? It's finished. How to argue with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Very difficult. You know, after he put forward all these arguments himself to us. So Mahaprabhu was like that, Ramananda Rai just prayed, you know, and he left it.
And then one day, Mahaprabhu and retinue decided that they had to go down to Odisha for Jagannath Rathyatra. So the king decided, please come and stay in the gardens. So in the gardens, and he thought, at least no binoculars in those days, but he could take some darshan from far. Mahaprabhu refused. He said, I'm not even going to pass by the palace. I'll stay in the furthest most corner part of the forest. Then Prataparudra then said, I'll send my son. And Sarvabhava Pachchara said, that's a good idea. Send son first. And they said that the son of Prataparudra is here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least you bless him. When Mahaprabhu saw the son, he was reminded actually of Krishna, you know, and he embraced his son very kindly. And when he went back, Prataparudra heard that his son got the embrace. And he was thinking, how fortunate is my son? But doesn't matter, by proxy, if I were to hug my son, who was hugged by the Supreme Lord, I'll get some mercy. So he hugged him very kindly. But applications still rejected. Can't see the darshan of Mahaprabhu. How to do it then? Then came the day of Rathyatra. And on that day, Mahaprabhu was there. And the king came as a menial servant. Nowadays, guests of honor, with turban, we sleep. But in those days, we must remember Drupad writes in the purport, for a king to humbly come in front of the Lord to sleep is an amazing, genuine show. Show not in the show, but it is a manifestation of his humility. When Mahaprabhu saw Prataparudra taking up a broom, he very humbly sweeping the street like a sweeper, just so that Jagannath could walk on the clean street, Prabhupada writes there, Mahaprabhu's heart never turned. And Prabhupada writes there in the purport as evidence of this point of menial service, that this was the turning point that Mahaprabhu turned his heart, yes, I can give mercy now, on the basis of menial service. And Prabhupada writes there that menial service is really the way to the heart of the spiritual master. Because spiritual master is very, 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 very merciful. But when he sees that a devotee has no level of ego and is ready to go on his hands and knees just to serve the devotees and everyone, spiritual master becomes very, very, very pleased. That mere service turned the road. And then after that, right, one or two incidences in between, but coming to the main point is, that night after Rathyatra, after everything has finished, Mahaprabhu was tired and he decided to retire in the gardens. At that point of time, Sarvabhava Bhattacharya quickly came up to the king and said, King, this is your chance. Quickly change your dress and look very like a rag man and quickly go to the forest. When Mahaprabhu is lying down, quickly go and hold his lotus feet and massage them. When he asks you who you are, of course don't say you're king. Just say that you're just massaging his lotus feet. Enough. Immediately Prataparudra decided this is the time to change. Quickly change. Mahaprabhu was lying down. He went there and he started massaging Mahaprabhu's legs. Do you not think that Mahaprabhu knew exactly who he was? He knew. But because of that menial service, Mahaprabhu's heart had become melted. He forgot that he was king. The word king now was not prominent anymore for Mahaprabhu. Because of the submissive nature of Prataparudra, he was ready now. Ready. So what happened? When he opened his eyes, then Mahaprabhu saw that there was this person in front of him. And he was thinking to himself, who is this person? But before he opened his eyes, the reason why he opened his eyes was very nice. Because the moment Maharaj Prataparudra became submissive on the basis of menial service, then because of mercy of Mahaprabhu, he chanted shlokas from Bhagavatam to glorify the Lord. Nivritta Tarshay Upadhyamana. Glorification of Lord can only be done in mantra. It is conveyed from spiritual master. The glorification of Lord came from Prataparudra, but only after the platform of his loving relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Master was established. Then he said, Tavatam Kavibhiritam Karma Sapatam Shravana Mangalam Sri Maratatam Bhumi Ganenti Bhumi Rejana. Then Mahaprabhu woke up and said, who are you? And Maharaj Prataparudra said that my ambition, he said, is that you will accept me as an obedient servant, a servant of the servant of your servant. This is mood of disciple. This is why Prataparudra became a successful disciple. through the nice parampara of the association of devotees, he came to know Mahaprabhu. He was submissive in his enquiries, always was asking from Madhacharya all the glories of Mahaprabhu. Never did he say, auntie, why should I ask? That submission must be there. And parampara doesn't just mean Prabhu said Mahaprabhu, that we only have our Diksha Guru. All disciples of all gurus who are in parampara, they are all our Siksha Gurus. Whatever we can learn from them about Krishna, submissively we should inquire. Always we should inquire. Then we are safe in the umbrella of parampara. That is the meaning of menial service. And therefore, it doesn't matter, Prabhupada says in his conversations, what service you do. There is no service that Krishna says, this big service, that small service. No. You may be sweeping the floor of Vishwan temple or Virama Kaliman temple. Virama Kaliman temple particularly needs a lot of cleaning. Just in case you haven't realized this, you know? If you are not sure, you go home after Virama Kaliman temple, just serve the soles of your feet and look at it. You'll find that no matter how much cleaning is done, you know, there's more cleaning. So, temple is very, very merciful to us and we have a lot of seva. So, it doesn't matter what service we do. Prabhupada says, it is how the service is done. It is the mood. You remember Govinda, the great personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When Mahaprabhu lay down one day after nice kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, he was lying down by the hallway, just where the, you know, where you see that the entrance, yeah, the corridor. At that corridor, Mahaprabhu was lying down. And it's very difficult, you know, because Govinda was outside. So Mahaprabhu said, Govinda, you can come in, because his service was actually to massage Mahaprabhu's feet after nice prasad that Mahaprabhu had. So Govinda thought, I have to go inside to massage the Lord's feet. But Lord said, I'm too tired. He said, please move, Lord, so I can go in, because it's not proper etiquette to cross someone's feet. You know, house is temple of the Lord, body is temple of the Lord. It is incorrect for us to cross. So Mahaprabhu said, do as you please. So then Govinda thought, I will cross. And he crossed. And then he sat down and started massaging. And after some massaging, Mahaprabhu said, I'm going to take some rest. You go and have prasadam now. Now for him to have prasadam, he had to cross over. Right? So Mahaprabhu went to take rest, woke up sometime later. And when he woke up, Govinda was still seated there, no movement, nothing. So then Mahaprabhu asked him, why didn't you go for your prasad? Govinda became quiet and silent. And at that point in time, Mahaprabhu came to know his heart. And Prabhupada writes there, this is the standard of the mood of service. Govinda thought in his heart that I had to cross over the Lord, but I don't mind going to hell and suffering for that offense as long as I was able to serve the Lord, because he requested for it. He ordered me to. But if I cross over him after that, it looked like the same act was there. But the reason for that act would be that I wanted to cross over for my stomach. Of course, we can always put forward the argument, we have to honor the sadhana, you know, we have to eat. That's why we're here. But you and I know that doesn't hold. Right? We know that. So, Govinda said something. And this is so instructive for us on the second point of menial service. Service must be done, not whimsically. It must not be done, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I like to do this service, therefore please order me. What is the point of that ordering? You know, you just order it yourself, go and do it. Right? Or you may say, Maharaj, I'm ordering you to order me to do service. That's the other point, isn't it? So it is not what service we want to do. Sometimes we say we are inclined to do something, we may raise it to Guru. But then after that we must be ready to hear from Guru if he gives you another service. Sometimes Guru also likes to test. He thinks he's very good in this, right? Let me put him in the kitchen and see what happens to him. Maharaj may want us to do that. At that point, if we reject in our hearts, where is the value of our submission? Where is the value of our submission? So, always remember, we may be specialized in some service, so to speak, but we should be prepared to do any service if it is for the pleasure of Guru and Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas are our Gurus. If supposing the management of a temple says, you please do this, please don't argue with the president or some senior devotee and say, no, I'm not inclined for this, I can't do it. You think you can't do it because you think you are doing it. But if you think you are instrument because the devotee has given blessings for you to do it, you will try. What the result is not important. What the mood is important. Parashuram's father was Jamadagni, his mother was Renuka. One day Renuka went over to the waters to take water, and there she saw two Dagalvas passing by. And she just thought, they look very handsome. She came back. Jamadagni immediately saw in her heart, you have not been chased to me. You have seen two other men and you said they were handsome. Therefore you deserve to die. Parashuram had four other brothers and he called them. Jamadagni called all of them. Parashuram was actually in the forest cutting wood. Jamadagni told them, now will you obey me because I am your spiritual master? And they said, yes father, tell us what you want us to do. And he said, just your mother has been unfaithful. Therefore she deserves to be punished. Please do one thing, chop off her head. And the four, the son said, absolutely impossible, she's our mother, we can't do that. They did not inquire submissively why should we, nothing. Immediately they said no. And immediately they were turned to stone by Jamadagni. Parashuram came and saw a terrible situation. He said, father, what would you ask me to do? What would you have to do? And Jamadagni then told him that you please chop off the head of your mother. And without question at that point of time, immediately Parashuram cut off the head of Rekha. At the moment he had done that, Jamadagni became very happy. He said, you have obeyed me very nicely. You have submitted to my order. And you have accepted me very nicely as guru. Now, whatever boon you want, I will give it to you. And Parashuram said, please bring back my mother to life. And please bring back my brothers from stone to life. This point is important in our sastras. It was quoted by Yudhishthira Maharaj in Mahabharata to show us one point. That if we were to really 100% obey the orders of a bona fide guru, then even if the orders look perplexing for us, because of guru's mercy, that order always improves our emotional service. This is mood of a devotee. This is not blind understanding, but it is faith based on sastras. So now we know the second. We know now submissive inquiry, we know now service, and then it is very nicely stated, the last point, the point, the principle of surrender. This seva platform of a disciple to spiritual master culminates in surrender. And this surrender was there actually yesterday by Gopinathacharya Prabhu in the life of Dasharathi. Because of his surrender to Ramanujacharya, Ramanujacharya became very pleased with his disciple and blessed him with full devotional service to continue preaching the glories of the Lord. So, Prabhupada writes here very nicely that actually the real purpose of Parampara, we should understand, is that a spiritual master in the line of disciplined succession has no demands for dollars and cents. That we should understand as the standard of a bona fide guru. Because all this time we have been looking at it from the point of Narada Muni as disciple. But it is equally important to make us realize the qualification of Brahmaji as a bona fide spiritual master. Brahmaji never told Narada, I will now explain all this, right? You just give me some paisa first. Nothing. And in India particularly, at every junction of the road there will be one guru. And if you are not careful, you know, guru will come up to you and he will tell you for 6,000, 7,000 rupees, I don't know what the rates are, they are increasing every year. In 6 months you see God. Right? In 6 months your bank balance will go. This is what happens. But in spiritual life, guru never wants anything. He only wants submission, service, and therefore surrender. This is important. So the bona fide guru is the embodiment of mercy. That's why after Pariprasnena Sevaya, the next point that guru reciprocates to the disciple is upadeksha, which is initiation. That is the word used by Krishna as initiation. We should not forget, Prabhus and Matujis, that initiation is not the pious sacrifice. Initiation is not the changing of the name. Initiation is not changing of Kantimala from 2 rounds to 3 rounds on your neck. Initiation is not anything else. If you read the preface and introduction to Nectar of Instruction, there Prabhupada makes it very clear that Rupa Goswami has stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that initiation is the gradual disengagement from the material energy of the Lord to the gradual attachment of the spiritual energy of the Lord. And that is done through the guidance of the spiritual master. And it is very nicely stated by Rupa Goswami that when the spiritual master has accepted the disciple in his heart and the disciple has accepted the instructions of the spiritual master in his heart, that relationship of guru and disciple is established. It is there. It is already done. All that is required after that is the other formalities. But the gist of initiation we should never forget. And my Guru Maharaj always says this point of initiation. The meaning of initiation is to initiate. Initiate means what? You start something. Initiate is coming from the word initial. Initial means starting. Never should be thinking that after initiation, Prabhu, I have arrived. I am now there. This is the perfection of all existence. This is the end of all conclusions of Vedic scripture. I am now there. No, after that you will be nowhere. That is the problem. Because the next day you will forget. That's why Maharaj said, if you want to be initiated, daily you must initiate the devotional process. That is the real meaning of initiation. Daily we must be initiated. We think, when we initiated? Prabhu, 10 years ago. That means Maharaj says the initiation is finished. When I initiated? This morning I initiated again the process of devotional service by Guru's mercy. And then you are safe. Then you know the real value of initiation. Daily, there must be initiation. Otherwise, daily, Guru is in one corner, you are in one corner, and what you want to do, you do. Then after everything, Maharaj, I'm asking you for blessings. Right? In retrospect, upon hindsight. This is all nonsense initiation, bogus initiation. Without Guru, it is very difficult to progress to qualify, to glorify Krishna. So the conclusion to this verse is nice. And none better than Prahlad Maharaj is the person we should remember. We should always, always remember Prahlad Maharaj, because guess who his spiritual master was? Narada Muni. Narada Muni initiated spiritual master, Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers, 9 chapter, there are two very important prayers that we should always remember when it comes to understanding Guru. Jiva Goswami in his standard commentaries have highlighted these two prayers. We should remember these prayers to glorify the importance of always, as Prabhupada said in Prabhupada Nectar, that we are forever indebted to the spiritual master. And the first verse, I think, is in 7.9.24, right? There, Prahlad Maharaj says, Tasma ramustanubritam aham ashisho akniyaha ayushriyam vipavam aindriyam avirincha Nichamite vilulitan uruvikrame laha kalatmano panayamam. The translation is very nice. Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, now I have had complete experience of this worldly existence. And I know that in this worldly existence, whatever mystic power, whatever opulence, whatever longevity of age I have, Ayu, Shriyam, Aindriyam, all these things that we have, that appear to be pleasures which are enjoyed by all living entities, they don't last. Then Prahlad Maharaj says, as powerful time, you come to destroy all these pleasures. And because of my experience, I now realize, what's the point of possessing all these pleasures? They don't take me anywhere. Instead, my Lord, this is our prayer to Krishna. I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. This is the culmination of service. Service in inquiry. Surrender. On the platform of humility. This will please spiritual master. That we humbly say, please place, if you pray to Krishna, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, no point. But if you go to Krishna and say, please place me at the lotus feet of your pure devotee servant, then Krishna becomes very pleased. Then a development of that idea is given, I think, 4 or 5 verses after that. 7.9.28 or 29. This verse is also very important. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kumpe kama vikama manuya prapatan prasanga prithvarmasat surashina bhagavan rahitaha soham katham nubhishajehe tavabhritya sevam. Soham, kathams. Kathams means how. So now Prahlad Maharaj is saying, because you understand this, Narsingadev has told him, you can take the kingdom if you want. You can take, rule it. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying, my dear Krishna, because of my association with desires, one after another, because of my association with these material desires, eventually I was gradually falling into Andhakoop, the blind well. I was falling into the blind well. But very, very, very kindly, I was just following the general population. I was following everyone, and I was falling into the pattern. But your servant Narada Muni, he kindly accepted me as a devotee. He kindly accepted me as a disciple, and he instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. This is the question Narada is asking now his spiritual master Brahma. Kindly tell me how to come to this situation. And exactly this point, his disciple is now praying to Krishna. And he says, because Narada Muni brought me to understand this point, he says, my first duty is to serve him. That's it. My first duty is to serve him. And then he asked this very nice question. How could I leave this service? He says, how could I leave this service? How to leave this service? So this is the mood that Narada Muni is showing us today at the Vishwanathis. He's telling us that until and unless we understand that we have to serve Guru, that our loving relationship with Guru must always be at the topmost in our mind, then the principle of Parampara will always protect us. Otherwise, on that platform, if we are not on that platform, then what happens is, it is no longer submissive, but instead, we want to do what we want to do. Do you remember Ekalavya? Ekalavya in Mahabharata? Ekalavya wanted to become the greatest archer. And when Dronacharya saw him, Dronacharya denied him and told him, you don't become an archer. He went into the forest, he made an idol. I use the word idol, huh? Because it was not Murti. It was idol of Dronacharya, and started worshipping it and shooting. One day, he exhibited great prowess in shooting so many arrows into the mouth of a dog that the Pandavas were in the hunting expedition thought, who could be this archer? When they came to find out, and Dronacharya was there, Arjuna said, I thought you were training me to be the best archer. Since when you became his guru? Dronacharya said, I don't even know who he is. He said, he told me he's your guru, that you are his guru. So like that, Dronacharya went to the forest and said, who's your guru? And Ekalavya proudly showed him, see, I have made you here, enshrined you in my heart, and you are now my guru. And Dronacharya said, if you think I'm guru, where's Dakshina? Now where's the Dakshina? He said, ask what you want, I will give it to you. Dronacharya said, give me your thumb, right thumb. And he gave it. And people around the world always say, Ekalavya is a great example of following the spiritual master and surrendering his thumb. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, he is the best example of a bad disciple. One who is not in Parampara. Why? Because the first instruction of his spiritual master, he disobeyed. If he really accepted Dronacharya as spiritual master, the first instruction was, don't become an archer. Instead, he went on to become an archer. Because that first instruction he never took, he missed the point by a mile. You know, in nautical miles, you plot a wrong chart and your ship, instead of going to India, will end up in the North Pole. Your charting course may be 2 degrees. But by the time you finish it, you're way off your target. So any instruction of the spiritual master we don't follow, submissively, we are Ekalavyas. We will appear to be great in our sacrifice, but we will never understand that we were never in Parampara and that we were all whimsical all the way. So we should be very cautious. Narada Muni never concocted anything. He accepted Brahmaji 100%, passed it to Vyas Bhagavan 100%, Vyas Bhagavan passed it 100%, and we pray that we also become necessary receptacles for spiritual master if we need faith. And whatever knowledge we have, we should pass 100%. Jai Dhritarashtra and Bhagavan. Are there any questions, comments? Maybe one or two, and then we can start this most auspicious Vaishnava moment. Yes, Prabhupada.
This point goes, these 2 points. First is absurd questions put forward by spiritual master.
Absurd
question. The root of it is, Prabhu, is that we are not attached to the instructions of the spiritual master. This forms into absurd questions. Because when there is no attachment to spiritual master's instruction, then what happens is the mind speculates.
Yes.
The first instruction that spiritual master gives is to chant 16 rounds to wake up Mangalarati and do the necessary. So if that is not followed, then that forms into speculation. So in that sense, actually there is no attachment, but there is a show in the Testament. And the perfect example, actually, one of the examples is Yamaraj. In the sense that when Krishna and Balaram had served Satipani Muni, and at the end, Satipani Muni asked, Krishna Balaram asked, what do you want as Guru Dakshina? And he says, I want my son. So Krishna and Balaram go to Yamaraj, and Krishna asks Yamaraj, now you give me the son. And Yamaraj doesn't question Krishna. Krishna puts him there and says that now you become Yamaraj and you have to taste people who is the very planet. But Yamaraj doesn't question Krishna, saying that I am the Lord of the hellish regions. I'm supposed to do this. Now I can't give the son to you. So Yamaraj was perfect that he was attached only to Krishna's instructions and not to the service. He would have said, this is my service, who are you to question me? But actually the service came from Krishna. So spiritual master gives instruction and the disciples should only be attached to that instruction. If not, it is complete speculation in the name of following the instruction. And second point, Prabhu, is the silence of Govinda. This silence that Govinda exhibited when he was Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu asked him, is what that breaks the pride in the devotee. Many times living entities, when they do something in the circle of devotees, it's because of conditioning that when we go through troubles, we want to tell them that I went through this trouble and I did this. This actually burns the fire of pride. But Govinda, even though he did something completely devotional, that he did not cross for his own self, but when Mahaprabhu asked him, he did not explain to Mahaprabhu. He kept silent. And this silence breaks the pride. Because, you know, nobody knows. I did it and observed the devotion and breaks the pride. But if Govinda had stoned Mahaprabhu, then the pride would have grown and the devotion would have broken. So just
thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this wonderful realization. This is so nice, you know, that when we are really submissively inquiring, we should not make a show of it. It should be genuinely from the heart. It should be honest. And actually, there is no need to show because Krishna knows everything. And spiritual master in particular, he knows. He knows who is working, who is not working. Through the heart, by the principle of parampara, Krishna reveals that to the spiritual master. So Narada Muni, he is a very good example. He has done so much, but never in Bhagavatam has he listed, you know, all his achievements. Nothing. I think I am the most prolific spiritual master in the whole world, three worlds, nothing. Nothing. So this point is really, really important. Three S's. Submissive means to be patient. Submissive means to inquire submissively. Submissive also means to be attached to instructions. And the instruction means, as Prabhuji rightfully pointed, it doesn't matter at the end of what service you do. Some service apparently look high profile. Some service look more difficult. But actually, as Prabhuji is pointing out, no service is easy or difficult. Service is only transcendental. If we accept that, then really, really, I remember Rishi Prabhu always says, the spiritual master is our captain. And the boat is Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. The spiritual master is the captain of that boat. And the winds are very favorable when the spiritual master is expert. And the winds are this knowledge of Vedic knowledge. And they blow very favorably. Prabhupada compares this boat to the boat that is made by philosophical speculators. That boat, Prabhupada says, is doomed. It will sink. Why? Because it is made of stone. It must sink, Prabhupada, it's in the box. But this boat that is given by the spiritual master, this boat is competent. If we climb on that boat, it is very competent to take us back. But the platform must be submission, inquiry, surrender, and what is the third one? Service. When these three are there, spiritual master is satisfied, all knowledge is ready. Automatically. Don't have to worry. And if you all have time, Prabhus and Mataji, go back home, look at 435 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Because after you have taken up this truth by approaching spiritual master, after you have inquired from him submissively and rendered service to him, after he has imparted knowledge to you because he has seen the truth, immediately after that Krishna says, having obtained real knowledge, which is transcendental knowledge, from Guru, who is self-realized soul, then you will never fall again.
he gives this assurance that you will never fall again into such illusion. Why? With this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are a part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. That is why in Vaishnavism, we must always be broad-hearted, broad-minded. To see the hand of Krishna and to see Krishna in everything is the mood of a real devotee who surrenders his spiritual. And I can end here by saying very safely that I have learned this very much through Radhesh Guru. I'm in his house, so I'm not glorifying him because of that, and it's not because of that we are here. But genuinely, I can tell you this, that for so many years I have taken nice association of Radhesh Guru, and I can tell you he's a very good example of a devotee who doesn't need to be officially initiated to actually show us the real way of living as a devotee. And Prabhu's real quality I've learned is the broad-heartedness and broad-mindedness of a Vaishnava, that he sees the hand of Krishna in everything. I have seen him go through many things, and truly I have learned so much from him. And in that way, we should all learn from all these great devotees, because really, they are the ones who are showing us. That way, we will always be in one God. We will always be safe. The real principle, remember, if you are disturbed in your service, something is wrong in our submission. If there is some disturbance, there is no surrender. If there is disturbance, therefore there is no humility. As Madhavamohan Prabhu said, there is pride. There is pride. So this is the key we should never forget. Jai Gandhara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai,
Jai Sarupad Ki
Jai,
Jai Swaminath Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki
Jai,
Jai Guru Vrinda Ki
Jai,
Jai Gaur
Jai Sri Vrindas Prabhu Ki
Jai,
Jai Ananda Kori Vaishnavi. When I asked my spiritual master, Maharaj, how should I obey you? He told me, Devki, if you want to breathe, you should ask me, can I breathe? That way you will be safe. Think about it. Something to think about. Something to think about. So that's what
in those days, actually, when we were with Krishna Kumar Krishna Maharaj, he mentioned that if the spiritual master is taking the prasad, or has taken the prasad, and if he has forgotten the vessel, then you should ask the prasad. So there is usually the exception of the disciple. If he says jam, you jam, if he says roll, you roll over. Don't question. The moment you have question, you question the instruction, that means your mood has become challenging. So there is not the answer. And as Prabhu very nicely pointed out, initiation doesn't mean burning wood. It is not.